This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. The Lions getting set to take on Chicago tomorrow in a Thanksgiving Day tradition that is weird. There was a column that came out. It's weird because it's so different, the context of which this game will be played. And there was a column that came out a couple of weeks ago, somebody bitching about, why do we have to see this team on Thanksgiving again? They stink. The Cowboys. It made me laugh. Because that column came out like every other year for the last three decades about, why do we have to watch the Lions again? They're ruining Thanksgiving. Somebody wrote about the Cowboys ruining Thanksgiving.
Well, that's fun. Good to see that. And look, the NFL, now that they have the three games on Thursday, they got the game on Friday. You know, this Thanksgiving week, I think it probably has calmed a lot of those people that say, you know, from within the NFL, let's give it more than just the Lions and the Cowboys that get to play on Thanksgiving. Well, they offer up the extra games.
It's a great tradition. I don't know if people tailgate with traditional Thanksgiving fare, like before the game.
I think they
do. It'd be hard to do.
I think it would be, except if that's what your Thanksgiving is going to be, like that, you're gonna get there early. Maybe you're watching the parade first off or whatever, and then you're tailgating throughout that. I've seen a lot of like deep fried turkey stuff.
Yeah,
you know, where people get the deep fryer out there and try to do that.
I've never tried it. Have you?
Personally, I've never. Have I had it? Yes, I've had it, and it's incredible.
Yeah,
it's so good. I'd be terrified to do that because of, you know, flames and gas and all the horror videos you see of that. The other thing is you got to know
what you're doing. Third degree burn chances. Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
But you got to know what you're doing with that. You know, you got to prepare the bird properly. You know, I think most people say you got to brine it, and then you've got to inject it with all types of butter and other stuff in there. But I will tell you that the best turkey I've ever had was a deep fried turkey.
Where and when was that?
It was early 2000s, and it was at the late James Hound Dog Hunter's house.
Really?
Yeah. He invited me over. It was during the week of Thanksgiving, and they were kind of doing a dry run. So we had a couple friends over. And
it was a test? You were a test case?
I was part of a test case, yeah. Yeah, and it was unbelievable. It was also the first time I ever had sweet potato pie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So Hound Dog introduced me to that, and that's when I said, I like sweet potato pie better than pumpkin pie. which is a controversial take. And I like pumpkin pie. I do. I'll have pumpkin pie. But if you give me a choice of pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie, I'm going sweet potato.
So there's a few things. I don't know if it's because my mom, you know, Eastern Canadian, and there's a few things that she does around the holidays that I've struggled with. One I've adopted, the other I can't. Okay. The cranberry like sauce on turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I was originally like, oh, hell no. And now I'm like, I actually like this.
Like the actual sauce where you take the cranberries, put it in a skillet and add some sugar to it.
Or yeah. Or there's sometimes she would make like a jello mold of cranberry and you'd kind of just scoop it out and put it on the turkey.
Okay.
I didn't like that at first. Now I do. One thing I've never gotten on board with, and again, I wonder if it's an Eastern.
It really helps with a dry turkey if you've got the cranberry.
Yeah, and it's great if the turkey's not dry too.
I don't mind cranberry.
But you're saying if your turkey is dry, putting cranberry. Yeah, it's like gravying the hell out of the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So that I've gotten on board with. The one thing that she did, and a lot around the holidays, that it was kind of a granola thing, and I don't know if a lot of people do this.
That's what you call, or the kids call.
Oh, my mom, granola. Yeah. Cheese on apple pie.
Never understood it. Never had it. Never. And I love cheese.
Yeah.
I love pie.
Yeah.
I don't.
Weird combo, huh?
I want to put it on there. No.
But you've seen it. You've been privy to this.
I've never seen it out in the wild. I've seen it on TV.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is that? You're putting like a slice of cheddar on there? What else?
Yeah. It always makes me. I'm just like, that's a no for me, dog. Granola. Yeah. Granola dog.
Now, I'm trying to think, where would it make sense? Like, even if you're like just having a party, would you serve
New Brunswick
slices of cheddar or cheddar square cubes with sliced apples? Would you do that? I don't even see that.
No.
So I'm trying to think what cheese and fruit goes well together, and it's like brie, but you don't see brie on there.
Yeah, I'm just out.
I'm with you.
Yeah, Kang, you ever do either of these, cranberry on the turkey or cheese on apple pie?
Well, cranberry on turkey, that's pretty common, right?
Yeah. I didn't like it as a kid. I like it as an adult.
Yeah, I'm not a big cranberry guy, so I drown my turkey in gravy. I'm a gravy guy for the turkey.
Yeah.
The pie thing is a little different, but I love cheese. Love cheese. But it seems like a weird combination, but I wouldn't be against trying it.
Yeah.
Because I'm almost that guy where it's like, put cheese on anything and I'll try it.
Yeah.
You know, like.
You're speaking my language. Right? You know,
I mean, yeah.
That's a Janssen theory, I think.
I think so. Yeah. That's Janssen University.
Janssen, that's a 100 level course at Janssen University.
Put cheese on it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, cheese on apple pie doesn't do it for me. But all right. So look, Lions and Bears is a football game. Remember, it's a little bit early and 12:30 kick for this one. But hey, man, it's another game they should win. I mean, it is what it is. They're a big favorite every week. You were at the beginning of the week, Gator. I'm gonna test you here. You were a little sketch, but things evolve. Are you still sketch? You still not worried, but you just think, hey, this might be tougher than people. And it really stems, I think, to your belief that the Bears are close.
Yeah, I think there's a number of factors that go into it. First of all, I do think the Bears are more talented than what the record shows. I mean, they've lost, I think, five in a row. And yet, you go back to their, you know, five games ago, they lost at Washington. Wasn't that a Hail Mary pass?
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah.
That's the one that sent them on the spiral.
They lose that game. And then the last couple of games, they lost to Green Bay because of a missed field goal. And then the same thing happens with Minnesota. They come storming back. They go to overtime. They have the chance to win it in overtime, and they don't. They give the Vikings the ball back, and the Vikings end up winning. So, you know, that's three games in the balance against three good teams, right?
Yeah.
We think Washington's good.
Yeah.
Although Washington's fallen a little bit. We think Green Bay's good. We think Minnesota's good.
Yep.
Those are three tough losses. They played them, you know, right to the end in all three of those games. So, I think the Bears are good. They're not good enough to win those games. I think the Lions will win this tomorrow. But I do think it's going to be closer than that 10-point spread.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple
things. And the Lions have injuries.
There's a couple things about it. I mean, one is, in between all those games, there was a 20-point loss to the Cardinals, and they only scored 3 points in a loss to the pathetic Patriots. But we did this for a long time with the Lions, and we've kind of forgot because our team has skewed the measurement so much. NFL games, so many of them are won on the margins. So many are so close. So many come down to that one mistake, that one or two plays that you make. And we were that team for years. And when you sifted it all out and you looked at what was left, we realized it was a bad football team. And the Bears, on paper and what you just said, you're right. They should have beat the Commanders. I mean, that's a horrific loss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the ultimate in finding a way to lose.
The defensive back is taunting the fans while the play's going on. He's got his back to the play.
The Packer game, they found a way to lose. The Viking game, it kind of took a miracle to get to overtime. But once they got to overtime, they had the football. And, you know, but that's how we defined ourselves as a bad team for so many years, is not finding a way to win on the margins.
Right
now, the Lions are blowing people out, so we kind of forgot what this was like.
The Bears are doing exactly what the Lions used to do.
Yep.
Is what, you know, there was, remember that awful season of like 1989, I think it was 89 or 90 season, was just an awful, 89 season, was awful year.
Mm-hmm.
And they found a way to lose games that year. Each game was unique. Fumble return for a touchdown, interception return for a touchdown, or the Lions would just fumble it away at the end. It'd be return touchdowns, specialty touchdowns, whatever it was, or just getting flat out drummed in the game. Every week was something different. Like I just mentioned, those three games against the Bears. You had a Hail Mary, a blocked field goal, and then he comes storming back in the last week, get the ball in overtime, and he can't do anything with it. You know, and you had missed kicks in that game, too.
Finding a way to lose.
Yeah, and coaching not helping you out, going for two when you don't have to and stuff like that. It's got to be very frustrating to be a Bears fan. And, you know, hey, welcome to our world for the last 50, 60 years. And finally, the Lions have turned things around, and they can overcome mistakes like that. If there is a pick six, okay, yuck, throw it in the garbage, move on to the next play. It doesn't affect them the rest of the game.
No.
I mean, even after you throw an interception, an interception, 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 and an interception.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You still get after it.
And that actually happened. That actually happened
a couple weeks ago. So it's things have changed, and this is where the Lions are at, and I do think the Bears are going to give them a challenge, but I'm a little concerned with the Lions without Carlton Davis isn't playing. What does that do to the secondary? Who's going to step up into the opposite corner? I'm glad Terry Arnold's going to be back, but you know who's going to play opposite him? Taylor Decker out. Does that mean, and they asked Dan Campbell about this a little bit yesterday, about the plan. Do you move Penei Sewell over to left? Or do you let Dan Skipper play left? And Dan Campbell was kind of noncommittal about it. He's like, well, you know, we can always move Sewell over left if we have to. But he said on Monday we had Skipper playing at left tackle. So I don't know what they did yesterday, but what do they do with the Decker situation? And then, you know, we've talked about the return guys in place of Raymond. And just coming back to the cornerback situation, I suggested, what about, you know, putting Brian Branch at corner?
Makes sense.
And if you've got a healthier safety option, maybe Brandon Joseph comes in and starts next to Kirby Joseph, and then let Branch take on the corner spot. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud, and because I'd like to have a better option than what we saw on Sunday against Indianapolis when Vildor is thrown into the situation.